Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Jim and I greet each other that way every time we see each other. It's such a blessing. Paul, the apostle, in all of his epistles right at the beginning, starts with that every single time. Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Is this working okay?
Very good.
It's God. It's from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm just his ambassador. It's God reconciling you through Christ and Christ in me, speaking words of reconciliation. I beseech you, therefore, today, be reconciled to God. John 3:16-17, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. When Christ was born, the angels proclaimed, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Peace on earth because the Prince of Peace, the Word, was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And of his fullness have all we received in grace for grace. Today I want to talk to you about that peace. Peace with God, peace with yourself, and peace with others. Please turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to read it from the Amplified Bible. Does anybody carry the Amplified Bible? Hard to find someone that carries the Amplified. I just liked it in this one, so I'm going to read it in that. The rest will be King James. The one who wants to enjoy life, in verse 10, the one who wants to enjoy life and see good days must keep his tongue free from evil and his lips from speaking guile, treachery, or deceit. He must turn away from wickedness and do what is right. He must search for peace, seek peace with God, with self, with others, and pursue it eagerly, actively, not merely just desiring it. God is calling us to actively do what he has done himself, to seek peace. This peace is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 9:6 says that he is the Prince of Peace. In the Old Testament, they offered animal and other sacrifices to try and have peace with God. But only Christ's sacrifice creates favor with God and covers all of our sin. It's whoever believes in him shall not perish. There's no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. So how do we have peace with God? Please turn with me to Romans 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're trying any other way to have peace with God other than faith, you're missing the mark. Mm-hmm. We are justified by faith. The just shall live by faith. Romans 1:16. Paul expounded on those on the previous chapter in chapter 4. Let's look at that. When was Abraham counted righteous? When he believed God. In chapter 4 and verse 1 through 5 it says, what shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that works is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that works not, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Amen. And then in verse 16 of chapter 4, it says, It is therefore of faith that it might be by grace, to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of faith of Abraham. And verse 20 shows how he received this. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what God has promised, he is able also to do. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not only for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses, but was raised again for our justification. Hebrews chapter 11, I'm going to turn there. Chapter 11, verse 1 says, now faith is the substance, the very foundation, the ground or the confidence of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report, and that's how you'll attain a good report too, is by faith. Verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Ephesians chapter 2. Probably know where I'm going with that. Verse 8 says, for by grace you are saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that you, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one and broken down the middle wall of partition between us. He abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments and ordinances, for making in himself of twain one new man and making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them which are nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Salvation is a gift of God. Believe it and receive it today. When you receive the gift of God, you're born again, and you have the peace of God with you. Mm-hmm. Now it's time to apply that peace to your life. Please turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Chapter 4 and verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Why? The Lord is at hand. He's with you. Psalm 16:8 says, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Amen. And then verse 6, it says in Philippians, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. So we need to pray, give thanks, always and everything, and the peace of God will keep your heart and your mind through Christ. The disciples in the boat waited too long to call upon him. He was right there the whole time at their right hand. Yet they waited too long. There's something I wrote back in, sometimes I just write notes, but back in April of 2020, remember what happened back then? Mm-hmm. I'll just read that to you real quick. It says, as the coronavirus spread across the world and found its way to the U.S., the world was gripped with fear. Fear of death, fear of sickness, fear of separation from loved ones, fear of loss of income, fear of the unknown. I found myself caught up in the fear. I made the mistake of choosing fear over faith. It sounds too simple to be true, but it really is a choice, fear or faith. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We have the power to choose faith over fear. Why are you so fearful? Jesus told him. How is it that you have no faith? That's in Mark 4. These are the words of Jesus to his disciples after he commanded the wind and the waves to cease. The focus is not to be on Jesus stopping the wind and the waves. Of course, that's amazing, and he is amazing, but he is God after all. He can stop that. But think about the faith. The focus is their lack of faith of the disciples. They chose fear over faith. After much toiling and fear of dying, they finally woke up Jesus, the Prince of Peace, the one at their right hand, and said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? They asked Jesus that. Here's Jesus coming to earth to die for them. Do you not care that we perish? Of course he cares. He cares for the sparrow. He cares how, he said, we are of much greater value than a sparrow. The hairs of our head are all numbered. How precious also are your thoughts toward me, O God. How great is the sum of them, Psalm 139. We should never question the love of God. Rather, we should embrace it. So the fruit of the Spirit, it says in Galatians chapter 5, is love, joy, peace. But I just want to talk about those three. If you have received Christ, then you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. Christ is in you, the hope of glory. The very Prince of Peace is within you, a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. Jim and I's friend Ty told us that the fruits of the Spirit are in order, love, joy, peace. God shed his love abroad in our hearts. 1 Thessalonians 4:9 says that God himself teaches us to love. Love must be number one in everything we do, otherwise we are nothing. 1 Corinthians 13. Then comes joy when we love as we should. Will you please turn to John 15? Verse 11 says, these things have I spoken to you that my joy might remain in you and that my joy might be full. How do we get this joy? By the spoken word of God, by remaining and abiding in the true vine, by the love of God and the love of Christ. In the book of John, the word love is found 57 times, and the word loved is found 11 times. More in the book of John is those words spoken than all the gospels combined. And even 10 times the word love is found in John 15. You want to produce joy in your life? Love. Love like Jesus. Look at verse 12 and 13. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Love one another. Lay down your life. Joy is the natural result of love. Then we have the third fruit of the Spirit, peace. Corrie ten Boom said, if you look to the world, you'll be distressed. If you look within, you'll be depressed. But if you look to Christ, you'll be at rest. Look and live. Where else shall we go? For thou hast the words of eternal life. Isaiah 26:3 says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee." Another word for perfect peace is peace, peace. I love that. Colossians 3 tells us to set our mind, our heart, our affection on things above. Why? Because that's where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. He is our peace. Peter walked on water when he had his eyes fixed on Jesus. Now that we have established peace with God and applying it to our lives, we would be amiss if we didn't share that peace with others. Please turn to 1 John 4, verse 20. If a man say, "I love God," and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he that loves not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this is the commandment we have from him, that he who loves God loves his brother also. We must love everyone. We cannot pick and choose who we will or who we will not love and forgive. Have you forgotten whom Christ died for? The ungodly and sinners. Why did he tell us to love our enemies? Because he did. Turn to Matthew 5 with me. Matthew 5:43. You have heard that it has been said, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate your enemy." But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. It's a very serious matter indeed that we love our enemies, that we forgive our enemies, that we forgive everyone. Matthew 6, 9 through 15 says, "After this manner pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, and thine is the glory forever. Amen." But then he adds to the end of that, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses." Peter tried with Jesus. He said, "How many times, Lord, should I forgive? 7 times? Jesus said, "No, 70 times 7. And that's just a metaphor for limitless, unlimited, countless, infinite times that we need to forgive. Why? Because the Lord forgives us countless, limitless, infinite times, every day, all day. We need to realize who we are and how much forgiveness we need. Mm-hmm. And Christ ever lives to make intercession for us. Go back to Matthew chapter 5, and verse 21 through 26. "Ye have heard that it was said of them of old time, Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Rechah shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has aught against thee, leave there your gift before the altar, and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly while you are in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver you to the judge, and the judge deliver you to the officer, and you be cast into prison. Verily I say to you, you shall in no means be cast out then. Come out then until you have paid your uttermost farthing. He wants us to leave our gift. Go. Be reconciled. Look at verse 9 of chapter 5. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Isn't it interesting how many times we're called children in the Bible? Children are very forgiving. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12 with me. Verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Don't fail of the grace of God. Don't let the root of bitterness defile you and sap the joy and the peace that God has for you. To close, please turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse 11 says, finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. Amen. We're going to do an invitation song as the guys will come up. I know that usually don't do that here, but I wanted to have a time for if anyone here wants to have prayer, wants to come up forward and pray and talk, then we can do that during this invitation song. Of course, you can always reach anybody after church, but want to have this time right now. They're going to sing It Is Well With My Soul.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, and has shed his own blood.
Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Thank you very much. Amen.
Thank you.